and I wanted to bring them to your attention. Kaya Scheidler is the director of the Counter-Islamic Grid. It's CIG. It follows domestic Islamist groups. And he's joined us this morning to tell us about another statewide race in Virginia. It's a District 33. Good morning, Kyle. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy. Thank you for having me on.
All right. So you've spotted this race. And, you know, Northern Virginia, Kyle, as you know better than I, has long been struggling with the infiltration of Muslim Brotherhood and Islamist operatives really into mainstream politics. And they've been embraced by the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They just have. That's all I can say. Not necessarily widely. I think strong conservatives in the Republican Party have been resistant, but then there's the other kind, and they haven't been so much. But this is a Democratic seat in District 33, so tell us about this candidate and what you know about him.
So this is an interesting story. What we're talking about is the Democratic candidate for Virginia State Senate District number 33. Now, this is interesting because that district is already filled. It's kind of filled by Jennifer Wexton, who's running against Barbara Comstock for Congress. So this individual, his name is Sharafat Hussein, is preparing to run to replace Wexton if she were to defeat Comstock, essentially. So he's out in front of the actual election cycle, but he's getting ready to fill this spot.
Okay.
He's an interesting guy. He's sort of an established presence in his county politics. He's fundraising chairman for the Loudoun County Democratic Committee. He's a member of its executive council. He's also vice chair for the Lee District Democrats. But when he's not doing sort of local Democratic politics, he's, interestingly enough, the U.S. president for the Bangladeshi National Party. Now, the Bangladeshi National Party is a sort of Islamic nationalist party in Bangladesh that has a violent reputation. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has in the past attempted to deport individuals who had affiliations with BNP because they described it as a Tier 3 terrorist support organization. And the Canadian authorities have made similar accusations against BNP members, saying that the Bangladeshi party engages in elements of political violence and has alliances with Islamist groups, including Jamaat al-Islami. So this individual who has this role as the BNP president for the U.S. is running for a local Democratic seat, and we thought it was interesting, so we wanted to bring it to people's attention.
Yeah, it's interesting. This kind of follows a pattern that I've seen, Kyle. Now, I'm more familiar with it with people affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood. And we need to explain for a second that there are many different manifestations of Islamic Sharia law and people that adhere to it. And from many different geographical areas, we happen to be more familiar with Muslim Brotherhood. And I think they have the strongest hold on that front in the United States than these other groups. But these other groups may have different names, come from different nationalities, but the ideology is the same. Fair to say, Kyle?
Yes, that's true. When I refer to Jamaat al-Islami, Jamaat al-Islami is a Islamist party founded in Pakistan and very influential in the subcontinent. So they're they are essentially, you could say, the Muslim Brotherhood for India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and areas around there. So they're very similar ideologically to the Muslim Brotherhood, but they have sort of a different background. Now, the BNP has a political alliance with Jamaat al-Islami. BNP was the party that enabled Jamaat al-Islami to participate in politics in Bangladesh, and both BNP members and Jamaat members have been tried and convicted in Bangladesh's ongoing war crimes tribunal. They have, over the past several years, been engaged in a war crimes tribunal where they have been trying Islamists and other individuals who fought for the side of Pakistan in the Bangladesh War of Independence and attempted to prevent Bangladesh from becoming independent and engaged in a number of ethnic cleansing and other violent attacks, and Jamaat al-Islami and members of the BNP participated in that. So that is sort of the background for these guys. So it's interesting to have this case where you have an individual associated with this foreign political party. It's a foreign political party.
So he's a full-fledged Democratic operative. He's got all of these monikers. He's the Loudoun County Democratic Committee. It's chairman of the Loudoun County. Loudoun County is a big county, by the way, a very prosperous county in Northern Virginia. He is the chairman of the Loudoun County Democratic Committee, a member of its executive council.
Fundraising chairman, yeah.
Okay, and vice chair for the Leesburg District Democrat. So those are big monikers in local politics. At the same time, as you're saying, he is a leader in this terrorist-affiliated organization, the BNP.
Yeah, I mean that's how DHS described them. He's also according to the Bangladeshi press, his brother-in-law Tariq Rahman, who's a BNP leader by the Bangladeshi government in connection to a grenade attack that killed 20 people. That was in 2004, and Rahman now lives in the UK, and the Bangladeshi government continues to agitate to have him extradited back to them so that they can try him. But this is, you know, sort of an example, and you were talking about earlier in your lead-in about sort of the violence that can appear in politics. This is the way politics is done in a lot of countries. It's very violent, and that's not the kind of thing we want here in the United States. And I think it would behoove us to ask an individual who is running for a local office if they have these kinds of affiliations. How do you stand on these things? I mean, it's worth asking. I don't think we should assume necessarily what his assumptions are or what his views are on any of these things, but a curious political press would ask, right?
Yeah.
Ordinarily, one would expect them to ask, and I'm hoping to see that. I'm not optimistic that we will.
Yeah, Kyle, you know, we've been following this, you and others of us who watch these things, and I've been trying to report on them for a number of years. I haven't talked really about the Islamist influence in a long time because other things have taken the headlines. But I'd be really curious to know what your evaluation is. You know, I think especially, well, we have Keith Ellison, who has some really suspicious ties with various organizations on the left and in terms of Muslim Brotherhood connections, Andre Carson as well. And then there was at the a few years ago a Virginia delegate who was elected, who also had a very mysterious, like almost non-existent biography. Like part of his biography just dropped out, and I think I'm not sure if he won or not, and I can't remember his name in this moment, Kyle. But my question to you is: do you see other areas of influence in Northern Virginia there where you are?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Northern Virginia, I think, is a unique area for this kind of issue because of its proximity to the capital, because of the long foothold that certain Islamist groups have had in the Muslim community in the Northern Virginia area. I mean, it's worth stressing that not all American Muslims feel this way, but Islamist groups typically represent themselves as the leaders of the Muslim community. And it's so easy for U.S. politicians to say, you know, I want to reach out to someone who will represent this community, and they could be a community leader, and that way I can go out to that community, I can get votes. And so they view these Islamist leaders as the individuals who will deliver Muslim American votes. And that's the extent of sort of their understanding of these guys, that they're just another type of community leader, and they're not. Right,
they're not engaged.
Islamists are not engaged in U.S. politics the way we think of U.S. politics. They're engaged in a process that is essentially, on behalf of an ideology that is anti-constitutional at heart. And so we need our politicians to be a little bit smarter. We need them to understand that not everybody who claims to represent a community truly represents that community, and not all of them have agendas that should be embraced.
You know, we just have a few minutes left here, Kyle, but it makes me remember that Abigail Spanberger, who is challenging Dave Brat in District 7 in Virginia, Andrew McCarthy wrote a lengthy article last week about how Abigail was pushing and helping the blind sheikh, his attorney, as I recall. She was all about helping him get speaking engagements. And she, of course, was with the CIA. I think she is fluent. I think she's a fluent Arab speaker. Not that that's condemning, but she has kind of an affinity for that. So there are other forms that this takes. The axis, as some would say, between the left and the Islamic radical, the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood, whatever community you want to call it, is a strong link, is it not?
Yes, increasingly we've seen strong links between Islamist groups like the Muslim Brotherhood supported individuals and groups, and especially like the hard left. And we've seen a rise in the hard left, sort of the democratic socialist types, in this recent election cycle. You know, they're making a strong push, and they've done that in large part in alliance with these Islamist groups. We saw that, for example, in Michigan, with both the attempted run for governor by Abdul El-Sayed, as well as by the successful Democratic primary win of Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib has been an individual who's associated quite a bit with these sort of Islamist groups, and they were heavily, heavily backed by sort of Democratic Socialist Party operatives. You saw Alexandria Ocasio in New York go out there and support these candidates in Michigan. So we have seen that alliance with the left, with the yeah. extreme left, and the Islamists. And I think the Democratic Party really needs to readjust and say, is this really something that we want our party to be about?
Yeah, I guess so. You're a much kinder way of saying it than I would. I think it's a real threat. I've had it. I Abigail Spanberger, by the way, taught in the Saudi Academy, which was called Terrorist High, by I believe it was Chuck Schumer, like many years ago, when right after 9/11. So this is what we're dealing with, and we have to be very smart. And that's why we're bringing this to your attention, Kyle. Thank you. This is Sherif Fahd Hussein, Democratic candidate for Virginia State Senate District 33. Just be aware. And Kyle's article about that we'll put on our Facebook page so that you can read it. Kyle Scheidler.